Amen. Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? I love this sweet lady here in Mark chapter 5. Well, we call her the woman with the issue of blood. I can hardly wait to meet her when we get to heaven. I'm going to sit down and just talk to her and just tell her. I talk about her everywhere that I go. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then my wife. I get to talk about her too. Mark chapter 5. And I want to draw your attention to verse 25. How many of you have heard the story with the woman with the issue of blood? So this is familiar to all of us. Amen.
And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years.
Now, there might be people that were as naive and ignorant as I was about this. I had no clue what they were talking about, woman with the issue of blood, until somebody just got plain and they said what it was. And then, of course, you understand. She had a menstrual cycle that did not stop. It was a continuous flow for 12 years. And I'm not trying to be, you know, uncolorful or whatever, but she really suffered. And sometimes it helps people to understand exactly what she was going through. Now, according to the law in Leviticus, she was considered unclean. All right? It wasn't that she cut her finger or something like that. This was something that was debilitating on many levels. She was ostracized from society. She was considered ceremonially unclean. It would have drained her of life-giving strength that would have fought off diseases. She was susceptible to every little thing that was going around. And then, from a social standpoint, if she came in contact with other people, she was required by the law, excuse me, to shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. Amen. So it goes on to say here that she suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Amen. One time we were taking our kids to the university to have some dental work done there in Edmonton, Alberta. They were very small at the time, and so you could get cheap dental work done there by the students. and so, of course, you know, we took the kids there, and we went ourselves too.
Not as bad as sound,
I'm sure. But wait till I tell the story. They had a long corridor that I was taking one of the kids, and we were walking down it just to, you know, spend some time, kill some time. And they had instruments from modern, progressively through the generations until very primitive. And by the time you got to the end of the hall, you did not want to have a toothache, because some of the tools and techniques that they had back then were barbaric. It was terrible. And when I read this here about this little lady with the issue of blood, it says she suffered many things and many physicians, spent all that she had, and it was getting worse. Amen. And so you can imagine that she might have heard of some procedure over here, and she'd go and spend all of her money on that. Nothing helped. And all the terrible things that she had to physically go through to get to the point where she was desperate and there was little hope. And it goes on to say here, verse 27, and when she heard of Jesus, that was the turning point in her life. Amen. When she heard the things concerning the Messiah. Amen. Who knows what Romans 10:17 says off the top of their head? Romans 10:17. Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When she heard the things concerning the Messiah, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so whatever it was that she heard, we know later that Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. So her miracle began with hearing something. Amen. Oh, Brother Greg, I just want you to get to the good part, start laying hands on people, and let's see people get healed and miracles and all. I like miracles. But if you're not ready to hear, you're not ready to be healed. Well, hurry up and let's minister to people. Hurry up and hear. Because if you can't get people to hear, it's very unlikely that you can ever get them healed. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. I didn't ask for a healing ministry. I wasn't praying and fasting for these things. God just went, bloop, there it is. Now do something with it. Amen. And I've just found that if you could ever get people to just hear the word of God, you can just about get them healed every time. It doesn't matter if it's chronic hangnail or cancer. Doesn't matter. If you can get people to hear the word of God and believe it and act upon it, you can get them healed every time.
Praise Jesus.
Amen. But see, if you can't get people to hear the word of God, you get all kinds of crazy ideas. Mm-hmm. Amen. How many of you brought your Bible tonight? Hold it up. Wave it around. Make the devil nervous. Amen. Now, find yourself a Bible somewhere. If you didn't bring it tonight, bring it tomorrow night. Amen. Or look on close to somebody and look at their Bible. Because see, if we don't know what's in this word, then this word won't do anything for us. Amen. Yeah. See, a lot of times we want the benefit without going through the means and the process that God put in his word to produce the benefit. Amen.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way. We have to do what God's word says. Now, I'm going to say this out loud. Don't get offended. Don't get your feelings hurt. You can get excited about it. If you do what she did, you'll get what she got. Do you believe that? Well, I don't know, Brother Greg. Well, keep listening. Amen. If you'll do what she did, you'll get what she got. How can I say that? Because God put that in the Bible for you to read it and for you to have faith like she did. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you'll do what she did, you'll get what she got. Now, you can't necessarily do what I do and get what I get. God didn't put me in the Bible. Amen? But if you'll do what she did, because she's in the Bible. Amen? Then you'll get what she got. See, you can't follow somebody in the flesh and get good results. But you can follow the word and always get good results. Amen? No matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're from the city or if you're from the country. It doesn't matter if you're from America or from Canada. That doesn't matter. But if you do what she did, you'll get what she got. So notice here, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Excuse me. Now, why would she do that? Why would she even think to do that? Obviously, what she heard caused her to act. Now, years ago, in reading this, I asked myself the question, I wonder what she heard. Would you wonder that same thing? Because whatever she heard caused her to do the things that she did. Amen? Until one day I found out what she heard. And man, it just changed the way that I looked at the Word of God forever. Now, I will show you, I will save you years and years and years of studying and meditating and praying in the Holy Ghost. And not that you want to skip that part, but I will save you all that time. And I will show you in an instant what she heard. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Now we're going to come back to Mark 5. Luke 4. And I'll tell you what she heard. Notice here. In verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now, in other words, people begin to talk about Jesus and what he was doing. And every little Tim Hortons, every little cafe, every little corner, people were just sitting there talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus. And, you know, blind eyes opening up, deaf ears opening up, the maimed being made whole, dead being raised. All these people talking about Jesus, talking about Jesus, talking about Jesus. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was. I want you to say that aloud, his custom.
His custom.
As his custom was. In other words, as his habit was. Jesus habitually did this. Now, the word, as his custom was, it literally means he was masterful at it. He did it so many times, he became masterful at it. You know, pastor likes to hunt and fish, okay? I can tie lures on my fishing line and not even think about it. Just, and it's done. Because I've done it thousands and thousands and thousands of times over the years. Amen? Maybe you've got a recipe, some of you ladies. You've done it over and over, hundreds and hundreds. You don't even measure anymore. You don't even pull the paper out anymore. You just start putting stuff in and stir it up and it's done. Jesus did this so much, he was masterful at it. Now, what did he do? As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. Every single Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and did this. Well, how do we know that? Because that was his custom. Think about that. That was his custom. That was his habit. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. In other words, he gets something from all those people. He takes the scroll of Isaiah, opens it up, finds the place where it was written. He stands up in front of all those people, and they're all listening intently. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." He stood in front of all those people and said, "I'm anointed." And he went on to describe what he was anointed to do. Now, I submit to you that every single person under the sound of his voice knew exactly what he was talking about, because they all knew Isaiah 10:27. The scripture in Isaiah 10:27 defines the anointing as burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. I was in a Pentecostal church, and a lady comes up to me. I mean, made a beeline to me right after the service. And I mean, she grabbed me and said, "I grew up in Pentecostal church. I've always heard the word anointing and the term anointed, but nobody ever told me what it meant until today." And she was older than I was. The anointing is burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. The anointing, I'm going to say it again, is burden-removing, yoke-destroying power. The anointing will remove burdens and destroy yokes. Every single time. Jesus stood up and said, "I'm anointed." That power will remove burdens and destroy yokes. Why? What was the fame that Jesus was known for? Signs, wonders, miracles. How did he do it? By the anointing. It was the anointing operating through Jesus that removed burdens and destroyed yokes, and that fame went all over the land. So we go back now to this woman with the issue of blood. When she heard the things concerning the Messiah, what was spread all through the land, there's a man who's anointed of God. And that anointing, which every Jew knew, was going to remove burdens and destroy yokes. So what did she do? She came in the press behind. He didn't have to lay hands on her. He didn't have to pray over her because she knew what she was going for. She was going for the anointing. Mm-hmm. Amen. She said, if I can just but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. How could she say that? Because she believed that when she came in contact with the anointing, that that anointing would remove her burden. Amen. But now, she's got something working against her. See, just because you believe doesn't mean that everything is just going to be hunky-dory, as we say in Oklahoma. It doesn't mean that everything's just going to be smooth and easy and all the tracks are greased and you just, boom, you're there. The law required her to say, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. How is she going to get to Jesus? She's going to have to break the law in order to get to him. She's going to have to violate the word in one sense in order to get to Jesus. But she changed what she was saying from unclean, unclean, unclean to touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Just touch the hem of his garment, and I shall be whole. Yeah, yeah. Amen. She took her life into her hands. Oh, I'll believe if it doesn't cost me anything. I'll believe as long as it's easy. I believe, as long as I have three witnesses and two confirmations and a poem at the end. No. She believed the reports and the things concerning the Messiah. She came in the press behind and touched his clothes. Now notice what happened here. I get to talking and forget to turn there myself. Mark 5. And notice here, verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. What is that word, virtue? Now, if you look up in the dictionary, it means moral excellence. But it wasn't moral excellence that went out of Jesus. It was dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite from, power. Power flowed out of him. Now, what kind of power was it? Was it, hair curling power? Brother, you'd be awful in trouble if... No, I'm just picking on you. Now, what kind of power was it? It was anointing power. What would that power do? It's healing power. Do you know there's different kinds of anointing? Amen. That was healing power. I mean, there are so many different kinds of anointing in the scriptures. There's anointing to be a pastor. There's an empowerment to stand in certain ministry offices. But there's also healing power. Amen. It was power that went into her and it drove out sickness and disease. She had suffered many things and many physicians, but all that she had was nothing better, rather grew worse. This power flowed into her and it drove that stuff right out of her. Because it removes burdens and destroys yokes. Now let's ask ourselves a question. Why didn't that power benefit anybody else there? It's a good question. It's a very good question, isn't it? Because the Bible says the multitude was thronging him. I've been in a throng before. We took years ago a group of teenagers to a Christian concert. And we were coming out of the ORU Maybe Center after hearing the Christian singer. And I had a hold of somebody in our group by the hand. I look back and I can't see them. I've got their hand, but there is such a press of people. You weren't even conscious of walking. You were just going with the flow of this mass going out the doors. And I had a hold of somebody's hand and couldn't even see him. Pressed on every side. Jesus was in that kind of a press because he's on his way to Jairus' house to raise up this little girl from the dead. I mean, there's a press of people on him. She somehow gets through that press, grabs his garment, power flows out of him and into her. She feels in her body now. She's healed of that plague. And nobody else got a single thing. Just because the anointing is present doesn't mean you will get anything. What made the difference with her? Faith. I'll make another statement. Don't ever forget this. Because it'll work for you. You can take it to the bank and cash it in. Faith always gives action to the power. Amen? He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Not because I'm Jesus, the Son of God. Because the Bible says he laid aside all of his mighty power and glory. Amen. He ministered as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. He did not just go around arbitrarily doing miracles and things of his own accord. The scripture says he did nothing of his own self. He only did what he saw the Father do and what he heard the Father say. He operated as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Faith always gives action to the
power. Faith always gives action to the power. There was not one other person in that group that was touched by the power of God except that woman. Because she touched him in faith. The disciples marveled and said, Master, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou who touched me? It's like, you're crazy, Jesus. Everybody's smashing against you, pressing against you, almost to the point of suffocation against you, and you're saying, who touched me? But he knew power went out. Now that tells you something about that power. It was tangible. Jesus was aware of the outflow. She was aware of the reception. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague. Amen? We're not talking philosophy. We're not talking theory. We're not talking wishful thinking. We're not talking hocus pocus. We're talking actual, literal, heavenly substance and materiality in the anointing. The anointing is power that will remove burdens and destroy yokes. Amen? And she was healed by faith. Now come with me. Go to Luke chapter 5 for a moment. Are you getting anything at all tonight? Luke 5. Now why am I talking about this? Because you're going to come in contact with the anointing. And I'm showing you principles to help you receive. Amen? To help you to receive it. Now see, that anointing flowed out of Jesus, but to nobody else. We need to know how that power works then. Amen? See, I believe it was John G. Lake put it this way, that God's power in the natural realm is electricity. God's power in the supernatural realm is the anointing. They're both parallel powers. One's in the natural, one's in the supernatural. Now, I don't see necessarily a plug-in. There's a plug-in up there. But I could, let's just suppose there's a plug-in against this wall. I can pat the wall. I can rub all over that plug. It's not going to do me a bit of good until I plug something into it. Amen? When I learn the dynamics of how that power works, I can benefit by it. Why didn't it go into somebody's house 1,500 years ago and operate their microwave? make themselves some microwave popcorn. Because they didn't have microwaves back then. Because they didn't have... Now, was electricity back then? Sure it was. But they didn't know how it worked. And nobody could plug into it. See, there's enough power right here in this room to raise the dead. I'm not just speaking wistfully. We've had the dead raised in our services. I'll tell you what, that'll show somebody what they're made out of when somebody dies right while you're ministering. It'll separate the men from the boys. It'll separate people that are just, you know, talking hocus pocus and reality. Amen? Mm-hmm. We had half the ambulance crew that attended our church and half the fire department that came to our church. And here a lady falls right out dead while we're having communion at the front of the building. But God raised her from the dead. Had a glorious experience. Tremendous experience. So when I say that, there's enough power in this room to raise it. I know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Snapped our pictures, you know, because it happened. But that doesn't mean that it'll benefit you. But what we want to do, we want it to benefit you. Amen? I'm not about hype. Amen? Now, there's some people, they can preach a whole lot better than me. I'll admit that. I am not what I consider a dynamic, charismatic minister. All right. I mean, there's some people that their arms will flail like a windmill and spit cotton. I mean, they're just going. But I'll tell you what I do strive for is the anointing. Because that's what will help people. Mm-hmm. The greatest power and the greatest issues proceed from your spirit. Amen. And if you can contact people spiritually and if you can get this word across to people and get them to act on it from their heart, it'll work every time, every time, every time, and it'll produce results. Amen. We had a lady just not very long ago. We got this testimony that there was a lady that was brain dead. The mother-in-law asked us to pray. She shared this testimony at lunch with us that her daughter was brain dead, savagely beaten, and left for dead, and was brain dead. And so she asked if we'd pray for her. And I said, well, if I were to give you a prayer cloth that we've laid hands, just similar to this one, that we've laid hands on, the anointing's in this cloth, according to Acts 19, 11, and 12, if you can get that to her, can you do that? Well, she said, yeah, I'll mail that to my son, and they'll put it on her. Well, we didn't know this, but the doctors had given the order to pull the plug on her. They had already given, they hadn't done it yet, but they had given the order to pull the plug. The cloth arrived in the mail. The husband takes the cloth, puts it on this lady, and she opened her eyes. Now, she couldn't speak, but she opened up her eyes, and they got a family photo, and she's laying in bed. And they moved it in front of her eyes, and her eyes followed the picture. So she's got brain activity now. And now she wasn't healed instantly, but her eyes followed. A few days later, she couldn't even say her husband's name. All she could say was, man of God, man of God, man of God, man of God. Now this is the testimony that the mother-in-law gave to us. A few days after that, she said, God came into my room and healed me. A few days after that, they sent her home to recover. Amen. Why is that? That's because of the anointing. Amen. I'd rather that than for people to ooh and ah and say, man, what a dynamic preacher that he is. I'd rather have results. Amen. I'm not against fancy preaching. Amen. But what I am for is the anointing. Amen. For the anointing. Go with me real quick. Are you getting anything at all tonight? I'm having a good time whether you are or not. Amen. I'm preaching myself happy. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Now, Brother Ray, he he got into Acts chapter 10 tonight. I thought maybe he was going to preach my sermon for me. You know, I'll just throw this in for free. Won't charge you anything for it. But, you know, Brother Ray was talking about Cornelius and his alms that came up as a memorial before God. You know, oftentimes we don't really see just how far and just exactly what our giving has done. Here's a man, at the time of his giving, was not even born again. He was hungry, though, for God, but he didn't know even how to get saved. But all he knew from his heart was to give and to sow and to give and to sow and to give and to sow. And it came up as a memorial before God. And so this thing is being built. It's being built. It's being built in the throne room of God. And so here's God on the throne having to, you know, he's conducting kingdom business. And this thing is in front of him. You know, this memorial of, you know, Cornelius, all this giving is coming up before God. And until finally, it is smack dab in front of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
It got his attention, as it says there in the Message Bible. And so it's before him. His giving, among other things, unlocked the entire Gentile world to receive the gospel. A man, can you imagine God using somebody that's not even saved? Man, I think I just tipped over a holy cow right there. God saw the offerings and the alms of a man that wasn't even saved, and it unlocked the entire Gentile world.
Praise God.
Pastor, do you mind if I knock over another holy cow? You would not believe how many people I hear complain about the Prime Minister here in Canada. Fooey on those people that complain about the Prime Minister. God is bigger than Justin Trudeau. Can I throw something else in there for good measure? God's bigger than Donald Trump. God's bigger than Hillary Clinton. God's bigger than your favorite politician. He's bigger than all. Amen. And whose eyes are we, you know, who do we have our eyes on? God or man? I tell you what, we better get him on God quick.
Yes.
Amen.
For sure.
God can use somebody that, I mean, from the world's standpoint, they're an outcast. From the world's standpoint, they're just lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
And God used that little man's giving, the Italian band, and unlocked the entire Gentile world. Now, let me prove that to you. Go with me, Acts chapter 10. And we'll get to verse 38 here in just a minute. But how many of you have heard of Peter? I thought so. That was about half of you. All right, now here's Peter. And now bless Peter's darling heart. He had problems. All right? He had problems. And one of them was that he was a little bit prejudiced. All right? And I mean, God had to supernaturally ring his bell to get him to even go to Cornelius' house. I mean, let down a sheet full of critters and four-footed beasts and animals, unclean things, and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, no, Lord, I've never done that." And three times God had to ring his bell to get him to see that the Gentiles, God is sending the gospel to them, basically. And so God supernaturally, through angelic visitation, gave instruction to Cornelius and told him even where to go find Peter. All right? And this was Peter's very first opportunity of ministry to the Gentile world. It had not happened before like this. This was his first big opportunity to launch out into Peter Incorporated International. Amen? This was going from little time to big time international ministry now, going to Cornelius' house. And I want you to notice the very first thing that Peter preached. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost of power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why was that such a big thing? Remember we looked at Luke chapter 4, as his custom was? Now, I'm not just this great big math whiz, you understand? You got to, you know, ask Mrs. Pastor's wife about math. She works at the bank, so she knows everything about math. But if Jesus, as his custom was, preached every Sabbath day in the synagogue and found the place where it was written, like he just said there, as his custom was, he would have preached what we call the anointing sermon 182 times in his ministry of 3.5 years approximately. So approximately 182 times, Jesus stood up in front of people and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Now, why would Jesus preach the same thing 182 times? It is so simple. Because of what it produced. Mm-hmm. Two things would happen when he preached that message. Go back and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and every time that they preached this, two things would happen. One, if people believed it, miracles always took place. If people did not believe it, nothing would happen, and usually a riot would break out. Try to kill him, throw him off the cliff, throw stones at him. When he preached that sermon, if people believed that Jesus was anointed, then that anointing would work for them. If they did not believe that he was anointed, nothing would happen. That might shock some people. I've heard people say, see, I pastored for 20 years. I heard people say, well, if I could just get to Jesus, I know that I'd be healed. I doubt it. Because if you can't believe right now, because see, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. It's the word that's a healer. Amen? If we don't believe his word, we wouldn't believe him in person. Oh, we might think that we would, but it's really doubt and unbelief. Amen? Man, that's another holy cow. Man, Pastor, there's a lot of holy cows that we're kicking over tonight. But that's good, isn't it? Because we want to see how to get that power to work. See, the same anointing that was on Jesus is also in his word. Amen. And that same anointing that he operated with, he distributed that to the body of Christ. Amen? He's anointed people today with the same anointing that he was anointed with then. No different. So here you got Peter, first big opportunity into the Gentile world. And what does he preach? The sermon he heard 182 times in a row. He goes out there. I mean, he could have preached a message to make himself look good. He could have preached a message to just curl their hair. But he gets up there and says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. God was with him, and boom, the Holy Ghost falls. Why? Because people believed it. If people believe the word today, the same anointing falls. Go with me real quick to Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. Jesus, you understand, by the time book Acts rolls around, he's already seated in heaven on the right hand of God the Father. He's already there. Peter, he goes there to Cornelius' house, preaches the anointing sermon that he heard 182 times, and the anointing falls. Philip is a neat guy. He started off his Christian life as a deacon. That does not mean that he sat on a board and told the pastor what to do. Amen. There's no such thing as that in the Bible. But he was a deacon. He served tables. In my entire Christian life, I've been in full-time ministry for about 25 years. Amen. And in my entire life, Brother Ray, I've only seen one deacon, a true, real deacon in my entire life, one time. And he didn't even go to my church. But he was a man that, even though he didn't even come to our church, you could not stop him from serving. He had such a heart to serve. You didn't even have to ask him. He would jump in and start helping pass out, you know, styrofoam cups. He was cleaning up tables. He was constantly doing something, and he didn't even go to our church. Amen? But that was the heart of a deacon, is to serve. Amen? Deacons don't run stuff unless it's the vacuum. Amen? You know, that person that puts paper in the washrooms, they're not very important until you need the paper. Then you find out just how important that job is. That person that sweeps the floor, the people that brought the instruments in, the people that set things up here, you find out how important you are.
That's right.
Amen? Now, here's Philip. Philip started off as a deacon, and God promoted him to the office of an evangelist. Amen? See, there's a lot of people, they want to go from zero to evangelist instantly. It don't work that way. Amen? You have to be willing to serve and scrub toilets and prove yourself faithful, and God will give you bigger things. Amen? I know a lot of people, they're waiting on ministry, but they're grumbling and complaining about having to do the little things.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We won't meddle with that. Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached what to them? Thank you. Brother Ray, the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ means the anointing. Not who, he preached what to them. He preached Christ. He preached the anointing to them. That's what the word... See, when you have the word Jesus Christ, it means the Messiah and his anointing. Christ Jesus means the anointed Messiah. Christ always refers to the anointing. It was not Jesus' last name. I had a woman one time that looked at me when I said that before. She looked at me like a cow at a new gate. I mean, she cocked her head like this and her eyebrows went wacko. What in the world are you talking about? Do you mean Christ is not his last name? No, it means the anointing. Philip went down and preached Christ, the anointing, to these people. Now, what was the result of him preaching Christ? And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. In other words, they believed him. He preached the same anointing message that Jesus preached, that Peter preached, that I'm preaching tonight. And that group of people believed it. And what was the result? Both hearing and seeing the what? Miracles which he did. If you can believe and receive the anointing tonight, miracles is always the result. Amen.
Awesome.
How do you receive the anointing? By believing. By believing. That woman with the issue of blood, she knew what she was going to get before she ever touched. Why? Because she believed it. Well, I'll believe it after I feel it and see it. Well, you might as well just go home. I'm not being rude, you understand? I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to get a point across, is that if you're waiting to believe afterwards, that's not God's order. She believed before she ever touched. She knew in advance what she was going to get. Amen. Now, let me show you something else here. Go with me back to Luke 6. I'm trying to find a place to unhook here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 17. We're talking about the anointing. I'm talking about how you tonight can receive the anointing. Amen. Verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain with the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be prayed for, ministered to, have potluck supper, which came to hear him and to be healed. They did not come to be prayed for. They came to be healed. What does that mean? They knew what was going to happen before they got there. I encourage you to say this to yourself. If you need healing tonight, say this to yourself quietly. When he lays hands on me, I'll be healed. Because you'll be doing what they did. When he lays hands on me, God's power is going to go into me. It'll remove every burden and destroy every yoke. If you come with that kind of faith, then you will get what you came for. Amen. Now, notice it says here, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue or power out of him and healed them all. Notice that. That woman with the issue of blood, she was the first one that ever did that. But then, of course, the story and the word spreads. And then the Bible says here, they came to hear him be healed, and the whole multitude sought to grab his clothes because power went out of him. Amen. Now, I cannot tell you how many times that I've taught that message. In some fashion, in some way or another, taught that. One time, a young man jumps up out of the back of the church, runs down, I'm not bringing it up when I'm talking, runs down the front, grabs my jacket, and the anointing lurched out, and good thing the chair was right there, pinned him to the chair. Amen. What about those dudes that brought their buddy in a bed and they tore up the roof? Have you ever seen anybody tear up a roof to get there, you know, before the anointing? Where's that kind of faith today? Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's hindering us is do we believe it or not? Amen. See, sometimes you just have to coax people and coax people and coax people to take that first little step. But if you will ever come in faith, God will always meet you where you're at. Amen. Plain and simple. Yeah, but what if it doesn't work? Believe the word of God. Just simply turn that switch of faith on and believe what God's word says, and he'll meet you every time. Amen. God is good. He's faithful to his word. God will never let you down either. Amen? Amen. Now, maybe do you have time for one more verse of scripture? Yeah. I mean, all you're going to do is go out there and get bit by mosquitoes. So you might as well stay here and listen to one more word. That was Luke. Go to Mark. No, where is that, Lord? Luke 5. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Go back to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5 and verse 17. Luke 5, 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Who was there? Pharisees, doctors of the law. I mean, the religious elite of the day. I mean, this was the creme de la creme of the religious world there in front of Jesus. I mean, if you ever want to do good, it's in front of people that, you know, that are high up, you know. But it says here, and they were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I want to tell you something right now. The power of the Lord is in this room tonight. I'm not just saying that by faith. I know that the power of the Lord's here. He is here in power to remove every burden, destroy every yoke. Every single one of them. But I want you to notice something here. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who's the them that the power was there for? The Pharisees and doctors of law. That was his crowd. That was it. And not one of them got healed. But there were four buddies that brought their best friend. Now, they were rednecks, you know. They wouldn't do this in Manitoba because everybody's polite. What is that, you know? What's the friendly province? Manitoba. I mean, everybody's nice and friendly in Manitoba. That's funny because we're over here in Saskatchewan talking about this. But these were rednecks. They were probably from Oklahoma or Texas, or maybe from Texas. I mean, they didn't even have sleeves on. But they went bringing their buddy in on a cot. I mean, you can just see them bringing their buddy. And now, they tried to get in by the regular means. Now, even if this room was packed full of people, you could make way, couldn't you? You could spread a little bit of an aisle and get somebody, squeeze them down to the front. They wouldn't even make way for them. They wouldn't even let them in. Those scallywags or whatever you want to call them. Well, that didn't deter those four rednecks. And they're thinking, we're gonna get a way up there. So they're going around the house and looking for a way. They might have found a ladder or something that they could prop up against. And they went up there. Now think of the logistics of this. Now, strange building. You don't just know exactly where everything's laid out. You got to pick the right towel to peel up. You go to sawzalling through somebody's, you know, roof. And you got to know just right where they are. Man, we go to so many different places, you could get lost if you don't pay attention. And so here's somebody, they're up on the roof, and they had to pinpoint just where he was. And I mean, they nailed it. Got it right, peeled up that roof. And think of the liability issues. I mean, they were rednecks, if there ever were a bunch. And they lowered their buddy. Now think about the guy in the cot. He was like the chief redneck because they let him lower him down. I mean, they could have, you know, slipped the rope. He could have tumbled out, got even worse condition. But the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. That power was not meant for that man at that time. Now, see, some people get to say, well, you know, if it's God, you know, it'll just happen. No, the power was there for those people. Those people didn't believe, but faith always gives action to the power for you. I can always believe for me. I may not be able to believe for somebody else, but I can always believe for me. Your faith will always give action to the power of God for you. If you believe that when you are ministered to or hands laid upon you, that power is released to you, if you'll believe that, it'll be released to you. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because if you believe, then that faith gives action to that power, it'll lurch forward. There was a lady, and I think I found my place to unhook. There was a lady came to me. This was over... I'll tell you right where it was. It was on the Key Reserve, just not but miles from here. I'm teaching down there in a little Bible school on faith and different things. And I saw a lady come down with her husband, interrupted the class. I mean, I'm teaching away, interrupted. And she's like, I got to have you lay hands on me. And she had some kind of a sickness or whatever was going on in her body. I don't even remember. And I said to her, now do you believe that the moment that I lay hands upon you, that you'll be healed? And I mean, it was just like a neon sign lit up on her face. And she said, oh, yes, I believe. And I stretched out, I barely even stretched out my hand. And there was such a surge of power. It just about knocked me over too. But I mean, it hit her and she went splat to the floor, her and her husband. Amen. And I just about landed right next to her. Amen. There was a surge because it was faith. Amen. It's not because I'm somebody in and of myself. It's the anointing. Amen. You're not receiving something from me. I'm not withholding something from you. But when you believe God and we mix our faith together, then that power is released and it'll drive out sickness and disease or whatever's bothering you. Amen. So I want to make an invitation tonight that if you're here and you need burdens removed, yokes destroyed, I want you to come down here and receive the anointing. Amen. Amen. I'm inviting you to come down here to the front. Whatever we have to do to make room, we'll do that. Now, don't come. Let me just give you some instruction here. Don't come and say, well, I just want to be closer to Jesus. This anointing just isn't necessarily for that. See the pastor afterwards and, you know, he'll get you back in fellowship with God. This is primarily, you know, one of the greatest things coming against you is sickness and disease. Amen. The oppression of the enemy coming against you. The anointing will remove burdens and destroy yokes. Amen. So I invite you to come down here to the front. We're going to minister to you.